Jenna loves her father. Jenna could talk forever.
One minute. I can tell you hundreds of stories about my dad. I didn't grow up with him. That's the sad part. When I was 7 years old, they sent me to the city to live with my aunt, to be a maid. And then, but growing up, a kid will remember things from 4 years old. My dad would get up early in the morning, ring the bell in the village, and get on his knees. This morning I read from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. Paul admonishes his the believers in Ephesus, saying, I bow my knees to the Father. Let your children see you bow your knees to the Heavenly Father. I saw that when I was little, and my father encouraged me. He always, when people pass through our village, he would bring me out to recite the preamble of the Charter to the United Nations. That was before I was even 7. And everything that happened in my village that time, my father was there. He, among all the Muslims, he would ring the bell in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. I saw my dad get on his knees, praying for us and praying for his people. Yeah. He would say, those people are of the night. They are of the dark and we are of the light. So we should press on. The little light that God gave him through the Episcopal missionaries, he kept it to his death.
Yes.
And his favorite song was, Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear thy glorious word. Faith of our Father, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Yes. Good, Jenna. And you actually took 1 minute. That's awesome.
Come on up. Don't be shy. All right, Mary. I'm so proud of Mary. Yes.
I'd like to talk about my husband and his children today. But you can't talk about him till you talk about the man. He was loving and giving, kind, sharing, and God-fearing. And he instilled all of those values on my 3 sons. They are great parents. They're great sons. They teach their children the right way. Of course, we lost Chris 6 years ago. But Joshua carries on his name, and he values him, and he respects him. And to this day, he does what Chris would have done. Hopefully, little Chris will continue on his way. But sons are fathers too, and they deserve the respect and the praise.
That's good.
All right, so I wrote Dad a little poem.
All right.
It's not really original, but one line is. All right, so... roses are red, violets are blue. Poppy Ricardo, I love you. We stick together through and through. No matter what, I'll be there for you. Anyway,
so, good.
So all that to say, I love my dad so much. I love hanging out with him. He's a great dad, great pastor. Definitely taught me a lot on the piano. Taught me how to, you know, act, be a lovely woman. He's just been a great, you know, man in my life. And he's taught me what I want in, like, a husband as well. And so, yeah, I thank you so much, and I love you.
I love you too, baby. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, church. I'll start out with my dad. When I was just a little girl, 11 years old, just turned 11, I was in the kitchen doing homework. My mom was talking to my daddy on the telephone. He was in the hospital with pneumonia. And she came in the kitchen and said, "Stop messing with that phone." I said, "I didn't mess with the phone, Mom." Here, my daddy had dropped the phone. He'd had a massive heart attack and died. So I have very, very few memories of him, but I do remember him being a praying man, a loving man. He loved me to death. I had three older brothers, 20, 30 years older than me, and a brother 8 years older than me, and they all swooped in and fathered me to death. And you fast forward a few years, and this nice guy moved in behind us, our neighbor right behind us on the other side of the block. And we started talking over the fence, and he would come over and visit with me and sit on the front porch, talk to my mom. And his name was Tim Plank. And many of you know him. He was my husband. And we dated. I'll just fast forward. I'm 17 years old. We're going on a date on a Friday night. There's a knock on the door. I'm so excited because we're going to the movies. I open the door, and there he stands with a 9-month-old baby. And I looked at that baby, and I looked at him, and I thought, "No, I didn't know you had a baby." And he came in, and my mom said, "Oh, a baby." Yeah. He and my mom sat on the floor and played with this baby while I sat on the couch and fumed. I was not happy. Come to find out, that baby was his sister's little boy. And he had volunteered to babysit Brian instead of us going on a date. And I was no happier when he left than when he came. But I must say, Brian is my third son. I love him to pieces. In fact, he sent me a text yesterday, and he said, he calls me his favorite. And his text said, "Dear favorite, we have a new baby boy. His name is Elliot." And his little girl, it's his second grandson. So I'm all excited about that. But to tell you a little bit about Tim, if you've met our sons, Marty and Aaron, you've met Tim. When Tim was a great dad, he taught him how to play ball, run, chase, do anything fun. He could have fun with a stick. He was just really a good dad. He showed him the path to Jesus, and he was just an awesome daddy. He was a hard-working man, had a great work ethic, and he would get those boys up. We had a plumbing business, and he would take them to work. Aaron learned how to do plumbing. Marty came home from work one day, stood with his hands on his hips, and he says, "I'll tell you right now, Dad, I will never crawl under houses for a living. I will not be a plumber." He said, "That's fine with me, but be up at 6:30 in the morning because we've got to go back to that job." Aaron took the tools of the trade and worked hard and went through school, had a lot of jobs and didn't know what he wanted to do, and then found that those skills now allow him to go into people's hearts and fix them. If you have a heart attack and go to Virginia Beach General, good chances are that Aaron Plank will be on the team that saves your life. They saved my life. I'm really, really thankful. Marty grew up to be a businessman, a salesman. If you meet Marty, you met Tim when he was 40 years old. And Aaron is on the leadership team here. He plays the guitar and is just a wonderful man of God. And I'm so thankful because those boys have grown up to be who their dad was. I get to see him every day when I see them. Marty's always been the carefree, happy-go-lucky one, and he's in a battle. This little boy has leukemia, Parker, and he's doing well. He's been off of chemo for a month. I'll just give you a quick update as long as I'm up here. And his hair has grown back, and he looks great. But in the next week or so, he goes back in and starts spinal taps, chemo, and everything else that goes with it. He's just really done well this last month. His hair is back. He's beautiful. But he has a battle ahead of him, and he'll have chemo until August of next year. 2024 is his end date. I appreciate and love you so much for praying for him all the time. And I truly believe he's alive and well because of your prayers. And just remember that next week about this time, probably Friday or the Friday after, he'll be back in chemo, and the journey will start all over. Just keep them in prayer. Thank you.
That's good. Thank you, Kathy.
Hi, good morning. I don't have anything really to positive to say about my dad. He left my mom when I was 3 years old. We're Jamaicans, by the way. He's a womanizer, love all the women. Left my mom remarried, had a great stepdad. Thought for a long time that he was my dad, until I realized my last name was different from theirs. But he treated me just like his other kids. But eventually, he turned out like my real dad. Cheated on my mom and left her. So, you know, that's that. But I thank God for the men that I know here.
Come on.
That are really, really good dads that I've known for 20 years being a member of LCC. Jim Sutherland, Walt, Jerry Miller, Sam.
That's good.
Bernie.
Come on.
And my neighbor.
Jerry.
Thank you, guys. You guys have been the best father I've known since I've been here. Thank you.
That's good.
God bless.
Thank you for an opportunity to just to share a little bit about my story. My father passed away when I was 3 years old, and so I never really knew him. He was in the Navy, and he had an aircraft accident and died. And so growing up, I had a father that was always there, always loving. He was my heavenly father. And I can remember going out at nighttime. We lived on a golf course. And I would walk the fairways at nighttime and look up into the stars and just pour out my heart to the Lord and say, this is what I'm going through. And he always was there to listen, and he helped me out. And I was so thankful for him. But, you know, when you don't have a father figure, there's a secondary effect. Because when you have children, you have no idea what to do or how to be a father. Mm-hmm. And that's probably true of those that did have a father.
Come on.
But in my situation, I had no role model, so I didn't really know. Mm-hmm. But I thank God for the Word. Because every time, you know, Linda and I would come up against some kind of issue or question or hardship, we would always turn to prayer and turn to the Word of God. And God never let us down. He was always our Father. He was always there, and He still is. And I'm so thankful for my Father.
That's so good.
Okay, I just wanted to echo, because for not having a father, he's been the absolutely best father I've ever seen in my whole life. And he hasn't gotten his card yet, but I just said so many things today about he was there for every birth. He was there for every event. He was there on his knees for them every day. And just as an example, I just want to say thank you, Jim. All of you, the Father is our Father and teaches us how to be fathers.
So good. Is there anybody else?
First, again, to echo Lorraine and certainly in, well, I'm going to look at Jim. You know, I became a dad, you know, in the midst of so many of you all. You know, Mercer was born during the second time that the Navy brought us here. The Zooks were the first people that we told that, you know, about this, you know, surprise that was a surprise to us. And you all have been part of showing me what it was to be, you know, how to become a dad. And if I hadn't known, you know, if I hadn't gone to Wikipedia and read about your dad, Jim, by the way, you can read about Jim's dad, Pug Sutherland, all right? Just Google it, and Wikipedia will come up, and you will see that, well, he comes from, well, God used a bunch of things, all right, to make this man that we call brother. But I thank you all for that opportunity to show me what being a dad was like, particularly because I was gone so much early on. My dad was, I don't want to be the husband my dad was, but sometimes I am. I don't want to be the father my dad was, sometimes I am. But I certainly want to be the man, continue to be the man that my father was. He came from the coal mines of West Virginia, joined the military, became a successful, you know, retired, very successful. He was the first of 17 bodies to pass through the womb, from the womb of Bertha Dillard, and he helped raise his siblings along the way. He didn't really learn what right looked like. His dad was really hard on his sisters, and my dad was really hard on my sister. And maybe he just thought that's the way it was supposed to be, because there's no book about these kinds of things. He was not a participant. We called him the great facilitator. He would, you know, we always had, you know, all the stuff we needed for Little League and all these other things we did. He would sometimes drive us to practice, but usually just made sure our bikes were, you know, working, so we would ride ourselves. You know, if it started raining, it looked like it had a rain out, he would come and pick us up. But he never was, he didn't come to games, he didn't come to activities, but he made sure that we could participate in all those things, and we had all the things that we needed. And so we just got used to that, so much so that when I was a senior, my grades weren't all that great, and my dad wasn't big on letting me, you know, or saying yes to stuff, you know, extra stuff, my grades weren't great. So I lied to my dad and told him that I was just helping out in the senior play. I was just helping to build sets, but no, I wasn't in it. Well, actually, I was in it, a pretty big part in it. And I figured I could get away with that because he never came to anything. Well, guess who showed up on our last night? He actually came when I was a senior to something. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, I guess, you know, things change. Well, dropped me off at college. I got my last thing off. He drove off. All right. It was like, okay, I guess we're back. Well, he always showed up for all the big things that happened in college. So much so that at the end of my senior year, at the Citadel, it's kind of a big deal. You have a big parade and everything. Well, I flunked a class right at the end of my senior year, and it ended up 2 credits short, as my advisor and I had miscounted, and was not going to get be able to graduate for another 3 weeks. Well, I called my parents and said, don't bother coming. I'm not graduating. And I hung up the phone. Well, the next day, I'm in the barracks, and messenger of the watch comes up and says, hey, somebody's down here, says he's your dad. What? I look out the window, and I see the Pontiac out front. And my dad just showed up. And that was a huge message to me that, you know, here I was, I mean, you know, not being able to graduate with my class and everything. I mean, I was in despair, and he just showed up. He wasn't a guy that wasted a lot of words. That, you know, the old story, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. Well, that's what my dad was. He would show up and didn't use a lot of words, but knew that presence mattered. And those are the kinds of things that the lesson that he taught. He used a tremendous amount of energy there in the 60s and 70s to shield us from the realities of racial discrimination that existed mm-hmm. at that time, even in New Jersey. And there were a limited number of places that we went, and when we traveled, we did things. But these are the kinds of things that he knew those were injustices. But rather than focus on the injustice, he tried to be sure that we saw justice in things, and that at least we, you know, remained shielded from all the rest. And that energy, you know, that expended for those kinds of things, you know, kind of brought about a lot of demons. But I believe, I have no question that the reason that we'll see him again, he studied scripture, knew scripture, didn't speak it a whole lot, but he tried to live it. And he made it to his peaceful transition in no small part because, you know, he knew the word, he knew who his heavenly Father was, and that example was clearly enough for him to be able to say, well, you know, I'm not going to fix all the rest of these things, but I can at least show people a little of what right looks like when I can see it. So, and he, there are a bunch of things that he never intended, but the thing that he did intend was for his kids to go on and become successful folks. And I think there's the fact that that we're all voters and taxpayers. We can't vote if you're a felon, can't pay taxes without a job. and successful at the things that he hoped for certainly gives him an opportunity to feel right about those things. And we look forward to, listening to what he says or listening to his questions when we get to see him again. So thank you all for showing me what it is to be a dad, and thank you all for showing me what it is, helping me live the life that only our Heavenly Father intends for us to live.
That's good. Thank you, Catherine. Kendra, take... Okay, go ahead. Then take the mic to Sharon in the back there.
So, my name is Kayla. Hello.
Hi. Hey, Kayla.
Hi. I didn't want to come up here, but my heart was pounding, so you know it's the Holy Spirit. I don't have any significant memories with my father up until I was about 17. And even at those memories, I don't know if you could consider them significant. He was with our family. He was there, but he was always working. He was a truck driver. So growing up, I remember him being around, but most of the time he was gone from the house or working. And so, yeah, when I think back on my childhood, I don't really have any memories of, like, talking to him, of, like, it was like strangers in the same house. So I was driving on the way here, and I turned on the radio, and it was something about fathers, and I was like, oh, I know I have to leave this on because I got my stuff. And they were saying, like, whether you had a good father or bad father, learn to honor them because the Bible commands us to honor.
Come on.
Our parents. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, yeah, I want to try Jesus, but I don't really know, like, what to honor him for. But I will try to quickly list what I thought of. He was always a hard worker, so our family always had something on the table. He would go out and he would work. He stayed at the same company for most of his life. And that, you know, it takes, I guess, guts to stick around and to continue to work and
That's
do
good.
Something
that
you don't fully enjoy. And I was, as I was sitting there, I thought of who my dad is. Even though I didn't really know him that much, I always, like, if you would meet him, he'd have like a big smile on his face, and he'd try to like say something cheesy, and then he talks about himself the rest of the conversation. So imagine being a daughter, and that's who my father is. Like, he'll just talk about himself, and I think to try to connect with me. But he's always good, like, talking to strangers. Like, he can just... And that's something that I want. Like, I can look at that and say, wow, like, that's something that I want to be able to do. Mm-hmm. It's almost like this weird charm of, like, being able to just, you know, come up to a stranger and say something to them or get them to laugh. So those are the two things that I could think of. Other than that, I'm still getting to know my dad. But I remember, I'll be done soon, but I remember sitting in the little trailer that me and my roommate lived in. And I remember just the Lord, like, impressing on my heart, and I just started crying, and I was like, wow, like, at the end of my life, nothing else really matters, but I do want to see my father with me in heaven.
That's good.
Like, if he wasn't there, that would be the most heartbreaking thing ever.
Come on.
And he knows the Lord, but that really helped me, I guess, put in perspective of, like, yeah, loving my father here on earth and having to make the effort to get to know him or spend time with him. So, yeah, it's a journey. And even when people ask me about my father, I still get, like, you know, there's still some stuff there. But, yeah, the Lord's good.
That's good. Thank you.
Sorry, y'all, didn't want to leave my post. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Thank you for being perfectly imperfect. Mm. Thank you for being okay making mistakes, but more okay apologizing if you do, because it just shows that we can be human. Thank you for being there for me and Peter and Nigel and for Elijah and being a father figure to him.
That's good.
My daddy was bigger than life. He was always there. He's been gone for over 25 years, and today I woke up and I missed my dad. He didn't know any strangers. We never knew who was going to be home for Sunday dinner, because when he went to church and he saw someone that he didn't know, he invited them in. So my mom had to always be prepared. It was a good life living with my father. He taught me many things. And I think probably the most important thing he taught me is not to live with preconceived ideas, but to be open to whatever God would bring our way and to flow with what was happening. I really appreciate my dad.
That's good, that's good, that's good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Is that good? Okay, Lily wants to say something. All right, we'll say Lily is the last one. Okay. Thank you, Lily, for sharing.
I always am happy to praise God and acknowledge him as my father. Each and every one of you here have felt the love of God in your heart. I was raised in a church that told me that if I ate meat on Friday and did not get to confession but died, I would go to hell. God, for years, was someone that was going to send me to hell.
Wow.
And I would fear him, and I would have fear in my heart. I had a father that was not a father. He was not a good man. So it took years and years for me to feel the love of God and realize that he was the God, the Father. And I sometimes call him Dad. And I praise him with all my heart.
Come on.
You see the empty spaces here. That's because people are afraid. They do not know that he is real. Mm. He's a nice fairy tale, isn't he? That's the best fairy tale I ever heard. But the reality of him, when he comes and sits on your heart and in your heart, you cannot breathe. In the morning, the birds wake up and they start singing to his praises. What do you think? You think they're singing for their breakfast? No, they're singing and praising God. When you see the moon at night and the stars at night, know that God is on the throne. He wakes me in the morning, and and I praise him, say, hey, today is the day that God has made. Let's be glad and rejoice.
Come on.
Forget all of those things that pull you down. Praise him. And then I realize that he let me wake up in the morning, see if I could get it right one more day. These chairs will be full one day.
Come on.
Because people are going to remember.
Come on, Jesus.
We all lived those lives that we were for God, and when we walked away and we were in control. You know what God says? You're in control, and I'm laughing at you. Mm-hmm. Be in control. Yeah, sure. Let's watch. God is good.
He's good.
I said, Lord, whatever life I have left, let me tell that other person that there is a God and he's not a fairy tale. Just watch him. Just watch. He's real.
That's good. Thank you, Lila. Amen, 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 amen. Can we say amen? See this verse on the screen. It says, children. How many children we have here? You know? And it says, children, obey your parents. Because why? Help me out. Because today I'm preaching sitting down, okay? I can do that, right? It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. You know, and the nice thing is, if you go to verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother. I remember in 1996, I was a baby Christian, just give my life to the Lord. And you know, I'm hungry for Jesus, and I'm reading the Bible, and I find this verse. It was just like, wow. And then I grabbed my pen. I went over the word father. I covered it. I'm like, yeah, children, honor your, not father, mother, yes. Why? Because, you know, like most of people out there, their father was maybe absent, maybe physically, verbally, emotionally abusive. So for me at that time, it was just like, hey, there's no way I can honor my father. And this morning on my way to church, I called my father. I'm not honoring him because of the things he has done for me. Maybe your father's passed and you never had that opportunity. Maybe people watching online and they're still dealing with the same pain. You know why? Because fathers speak identity. Actually, it says, statistics shows that the children's identity comes from their father. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, we all can testify. There's nothing like having a father who loves you, who's been there for you. But also, it's terrible when you feel rejected by your father. You know, so I remember a number of years back, I was talking to my dad, trying to figure out, why were you so physically abusive? He would beat us, not spank us, beat us. I mean, why did you reject us so bad? I mean, some of my siblings are still dealing with that. Thank God for the gospel. I have been delivered, set free, and actually set my dad free from my heart. And I'm okay. So now I'm trying to help my other siblings. And my dad explained to me, tell me his story between him and his parents. So the huge problem he had, he was rejected by his mother. Because his father wanted him to be a doctor, but the guy wasn't smart enough, so they kept calling him dumb. And finally, after I think sixth grade or seventh grade, they disown him So he left the Southeast in Jacmel and moved to Port-au-Prince, hated his mother. I could never figure it out why, even growing up, my dad and his mother were, I mean, my grandma was amazing. I love my grandma. She loved me, but I couldn't figure out why she despised him as a mother. Until I grew up and here. And then I realized my father couldn't give me what he didn't have. That actually helped me to forgive him, to let him go. I'm like, you know what? He didn't know how to love. He had nobody loving him. So everything he was doing is taking, abusing everybody, all the women. I've got sisters and brothers that are the same age as me. That means when my mother was pregnant, which my mother was the married woman, my dad also had two other women pregnant too. So I've got twins out there, but with not the same mother, born the same year, same age. So I tell you this to tell you what. I mean, today, that's not what I was going to talk about, but I figured I'm going to close this because everybody is, you know, I feel like our hearts is open to receive not only Father's love, but I don't know what your past has been with your father. Maybe your father's alive today, and you really need to let him go. Or maybe your past, your father's gone, and you never had that opportunity to, in deep in your heart, to be like, you know what, I forgive him. You know, the past is the past. Now, next year, when you think about Father's Day, I want you to feel like me, so free. You know, what my dad has done, it's too bad. But I'm not going to let what he did to me put me in that jail for the rest of my life. I live free. And I'm telling my siblings the same thing. We thank God for each of you who has or still have good fathers. And if your father is alive today, forgive him. Let him go. He didn't know better. Thank God for being our Father. And this is this song I'm going to share with you. I like what it says here. It says, before the world began, you can put it on the word here. You were in Father's mind. Every tear you cry is precious in Father's eyes. There's nothing like a child longing for Father's love. I mean, and still today, like Janet shared, some of you had good fathers. You're still missing your dad. But some of you didn't have good fathers. But let us all be reminded again that we have such a good father. And I think Lily said it. People out there needs to understand God is not a father like our earthly father with a stick in his hands waiting, watching for you to mess up. He's not like that. He's a loving father. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He's giving us open doors for everybody to be saved through the blood of Jesus. Before the world began, you were in his mind, and every tear you cry is precious in his eyes. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done so you would come. Nothing you can do could make him love you more. And nothing that you've done would make him close the doors. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. And everything was done so you would come to the Father.
hearts and broken lives, he will take them all. The power of the world, power of his blood, and everything was done so you would come. This is the gospel. Everything was done so you and I would come to God. You know, and as we go today, the role of a father really came from God himself, our Heavenly Father. Being a father is a divine role and a calling. I didn't know how to be a father. How did I learn to be a father? I learned from God. I told Kendra this before. I feel like when Kendra was pregnant with her, you know, children, I wish I would be like I am right now. I feel like I was a little selfish. You know, we dealt with this already. I've already asked for forgiveness. But it's like, man, a woman carrying your baby. I wish I would be more caring. It's not like I wasn't caring, but now, from not what I know now, I'm like, man, Ricardo, man, you dumbhead. I just wish I would be a little better. But I thank God for the gospel, because God is not condemning us. I thank God for young men here or online watching, who understand, who has people, you know, like, you know, Michael, Ryan, and some of the other guys that are not married yet. You guys have examples. You know, Sam said it. I never wanted to be like my dad. But also, I am thankful for my father. I'm thankful because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be. You see how we can be grateful? See, Psalm 103:13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on us. So God's not beating down on you. Be reminded of this. Becoming a father or stepfather or grandfather or a foster father is an opportunity to become like God. So guys, people we have in our lives, children, young adults, whoever sees you as a father figure in their lives, I count it as an opportunity. I count it as an opportunity to show my children, my spiritual children, my nieces and nephews. I count it as an opportunity to show them what God is like, you know? To show them, hey, even if your father doesn't get it yet, but I am going to do my best to represent God in your life. It is an opportunity for us to love and show care for our children as God loves and cares for us. Okay?